This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scrappy's giving signals, and it's confusing.
I feel rushed sometimes.
He said, we'll do it, da-da-da-da-da. Makes sense. And both Chris and I said,
nope. But it's time to talk, so we better figure something out.
I said, if we're going to do this pull back the curtain, I said, let's talk about opening day, reset everything on the show, and if we need to, we can go to the National League Central predictions. If we don't, then we could do them at 520.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
That's understandable.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Welcome to the Happy Hour. It's now time for Happy Hour, brought to you by GL Pools, the company trusted by thousands of San Diegans to keep their pools sparkling, swim-ready, and stress-free. Excuse me. Call now and say radio. For a free month of service, visit glpools.com.
It is not normal for anybody to ever poke fun at the sponsor. However, in this ad, it says that GL Pools is going to keep the pools stress-free. Okay. How many swimming pools do you know that are under stress?
This is a George Carlin bit that Chris is doing right now.
I guess.
This is a George Carlin bit.
I didn't understand that. Pools are very relaxing places.
Have you ever owned your own pool? It's a lot of work.
I have. So it's stress-free for me.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
There you go. Pool.
Got it. Not the pool itself.
I know you too well, Chris. He loves the George Carlin. Has George Carlin ever done that?
No, because nobody's ever said they kept a pool stress-free before.
They're going to keep you stress-free.
Never mind. That's fine. I'm just killing it.
He says no.
Just killing it. Reset. Padres, opening day tomorrow, 1:10 start. Michael King, Chris Sale. Should be a fun one.
Okay, Tony, I think you should just put your lineup down tonight in your scorebook. And then if it's wrong, you can always change it because
right.
You've got the ability now on the screen to do that.
I can.
You got to trust yourself. Tony gave us the lineup earlier in the show. And
it was crazy.
You know, it was a little different than I expected, but we'll see where it comes out.
Go ahead, Tony. Tell him the craziness.
But I'm thinking you do it tonight, Tony. God, you get everything just perfect. And then if you have to make one change or two, no biggie.
Maybe.
He likes that idea. I can tell he's thinking about it.
My lineup for tomorrow was Fernando Tatis Jr. in right, Luis Arraez at first, Manny Machado at third, Jackson Merrill patrolling center field, Xander Bogaerts, Jake Cronenworth at second base. Yuli Gurriel is the designated hitter. Brandon Lockridge will have left field.
Yep.
And Martin Maldonado behind the dish.
See how close it is.
That being said, it may not matter. We'll see. That's what the thing. I was going to say Diaz could very well be in there. They're both hit from the right side, so it's not.
I think if they put Diaz in, they'd bat him eighth and Lockridge ninth. That's what I would predict. But we all won't know until Mike Shildt actually announces it tomorrow. Something that we will be looking forward to.
Touche.
And everybody, we know the broadcast is going to be sensational tomorrow because we had both Sammy Leavitt and Dave Marcus on from the stadium earlier today. And they're all checking out all the equipment 22 hours ahead of the game. They're ready.
As they should.
You know what I'm looking forward to most? Is not having two sets of defenders on my scorecard.
Yeah, yeah. The spring roster has got to be crazy.
Let me tell you. Jesse and I get a blue card during spring, which really helped. Shout out to Jim. Gave us these blue cards that let us know who the substitutions were.
Oh,
and we didn't know when they were coming in, but we knew where they were going.
That's big.
So it was
for spring training because they can sub nine guys at once.
And a lot of times they did. Yeah. A lot of times they did.
Right.
And so having them already on to paper it out. Now you got to be smart. You can't put them into the lineup because although they're going in, you
they
don't know.
They may bat in a different
they
order.
Might dap. So you leave that spot available. I am so looking forward to having only like two, two of those.
That'll be nice.
Oh, be so nice.
Lakers are underway at Indiana tonight. Tony will tell you how they're
doing. They're making me upset. I can tell you that already.
Really? They're only down three?
I know, but they're squandering opportunities and then letting these guys get extra shots, and it shouldn't be this way.
No, it is.
Tony and I were talking about this in the break, Chris, and I want to get your opinion on it. The Pacers logo and all that has always been
They've always had one of the worst logos, I feel like.
It's a P with a basketball in it.
Yeah, nobody. It's the same one they had back in the ABA.
It hasn't changed
in the 70s. That's 50 years old. It might be time for an update.
Oh, Caitlin Clark in attendance.
Oh, the game just got way more important.
Who's she with? Is that her boyfriend?
I don't know.
We're not in her business like that.
Start a little.
Well, her boyfriend is. I think he's Fran McCaffrey's son.
Start a little something
Fran
on
McCaffrey.
The TMZ segment tomorrow.
Oh.
Not anymore. He was fired.
Oh,
Fran McCaffrey.
Hey, Caitlin. He's got no status anymore. I think he's also, I don't know.
You don't.
I don't.
Yeah. All right, let's do the NL Central. Sounds like we're kind of...
Man, you guys really...
We're kind of floundering here, so we better get to it.
Sorry. You guys really...
Told you we were going to run out there, buddy.
Yeah. There's nothing happening today, Scraby, so let's do the picks. Set it up.
I'm trying. I wasn't ready.
All right.
I got to get to my Central.
Okay.
Tony, we're going to start with you.
Bring it.
Central winner, who is it?
NL Central.
NL Central.
Tough. Yes.
This is a doozy right here.
That could be any of the five.
It
really?
Literally could be any of the... Except, who's it else? Who's the worst team to say? It could really be all five. Pittsburgh
is... Pittsburgh
might arguably be the worst team, but they got Mr. Skeens. They played well down the stretch, or they tried to. I'm going to go with my old team.
Brew Crew.
The crew. They won it last
year. Every
year,
the last 3 years, they have been counted out.
Yeah.
And each of the last three, they've been right there.
Yeah. This year, they got to replace, Adamas.
Yeah.
And they got to replace Corbin Burns.
Yep.
Well, he left last year.
Gone.
Right.
He's already gone.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. But Pat Murphy was manager of the year last year. Did a great job.
I think the Cardinals have the talent to win it. I think... Yeah, you know what? I take that back. I don't think the Cardinals got that. I'm going with the Brew Crew.
Brew Crew.
Going with the Crew.
Chris?
I'm not going with the Crew.
With
I've
the
never
Cubs.
Liked the Crew. And I'm definitely not going with the Cubs.
Oh, you're going with the Cardinals?
No, the Cardinals are
going
to be
you're
coming up in
Pirates?
One of my later predictions.
Yeah, me too. That's why I took back my statement.
I am taking the Terry Francona-led Cincinnati Reds. To win the division.
Okay.
They were fourth last year, so they got to make up some ground. But Francona is one of the best in the business. And I think they've got the most talent in the division. It's just a matter of getting everything out of that talent. So I think the Reds can do it this year. I'll take them. I see Nick Martinez starting game one of the playoff for the Reds.
Okay. I really want to go Reds because I live in Cincinnati. I like the Reds. I love Elia de la Cruz.
I like their chili.
Love Skyline Chili.
Yeah.
but every year I pick the Reds, and every year they fail me. And so I'm going to have to go with the team that did it last year in the Brewers.
Not the Cubs. None of us. The Cubs are kind of favored because they added a couple players.
Cubs are going to be good.
They were supposed to be good last year.
Yeah, but not really, though.
Craig Counsell getting paid the most in major leagues, I think.
That does not mean they're supposed to be good. It just means he's really good.
Didn't see it last year. I'm up first on the last place team.
All right, last place.
Chris fits that in there.
Craig Counsell, yeah, overrated.
Last place team, I'm going to go first. It's got to be the Pirates. I don't see... And they could not come in last, but Tommy Pham's leading off for them, so it tells you where they're at.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah. Tony?
Don't tell him that.
It'll be the Pirates.
The Pirates? Yeah. I like the Pirates. Chris, Pirates?
No.
Oh.
He's going with the Cardinals.
Yes, I am.
Oh.
Cardinals are, prognosticators say they're going to have like the worst season they've ever had. Now, that is hard to believe because the Cardinals always come up with something. But they lost.
They've
a
lost
lot.
Their way for sure.
And you know, Arenado's kind of their best player, and he's nowhere near what he was.
They're trying to trade him.
Right. They tried to get rid of him. So I'll go Cardinals last.
Cardinals.
Yeah.
Division MVP, Chris. The National League Central.
Well, there's some good candidates. Kyle Tucker, the Cubs, he's also a newcomer candidate. Jackson Churio, I think, is overlooked for an MVP.
Yeah.
For the Brew Crew. But I'm gonna go with your guy, Scraby.
Ellie
De La Cruz. He leads the Reds. I don't know if he can steal 100 bases. I mean, that was a thought for a while last year, but then he got tired. Yeah. But I'll go with Ellie. I think Terry Francona is going to unlock even more from him.
Giving Tito a lot of credit there.
I am. Well, he deserves some of it. He's pretty good.
Tony?
Jackson Churio will be the MVP of the Central.
There you go. All right. You and I were thinking alike there.
I was so torn on this because I love Ellie De La Cruz, but Jackson Churio helped me win a championship in fantasy baseball this year.
There it is.
You know, of all the things I'm going to be rooting for, I'm going to be rooting for one thing this year, and that is for you not to win a third in a row.
Oh, my God.
Please.
That's right. He is back. Back to back.
The double champ is here. And guess what? If you combine football from 2 years ago, triple champ is here.
He said from 2 years ago, not last year.
Triple champ is here.
From 2 years ago.
And I can't say a thing. Because I was in the same league.
Who won it last year? Our football league? I can't remember.
It was your boy Thomas won it.
Oh yeah,
Odd Thomas.
I'm mad.
Stupid lineup.
Yeah.
Games.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hack ESPN this year. I'm going to refuse to let Thomas put his lineup in because he doesn't put his lineup in until like 9:58 a.m.
I hope they give me that option as commissioner this year.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Make sure lineup has to be
you
at a
probably,
certain time.
Oh,
lineup needs to be in at a certain time.
You need to look
this
at
is,
that.
You know what we need to do is have like a committee meeting where a rules committee where you guys can suggest new rule changes and then we can vote on them.
All right, team double champ, would you like to submit a rule? Katrina says the champ is here because he tells us continually.
Yeah, he is.
I'm up first, or Tony's up first for the best newcomer of the division. Tony? National League Central.
Best newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker. I could say Tommy Pham. He's new to the Pirates, but
it's not new to the division, though.
No, Kyle Tucker. Chris,
this is the Central is where he had to let Jock Peterson know he didn't play about his money. So, you know, it's not his first time in the Central.
You remember that all the time? That was crazy.
My outside long shot in this race is Gavin Lux, but I'm going to go with Ryan Pressly of the Cubs. Mm. Give them a big time closer. Which haven't had for a while.
I'm up first for Division Cy Young. I mean, there's really only one guy we can go with here.
Is there?
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of great pitchers.
I don't know.
But Mr. Skeens.
Well, go there then.
I have to.
Okay.
I don't want to look stupid.
It's a little late for that, but Chris?
You just walk yourself right into these all the time.
You know,
Frank.
I just be me, man.
I don't understand. Why do you do this to yourself?
Chris?
There are some other candidates. Imanaga,
we know that. He's already won the Cy Young. We know this.
Imanaga's a candidate, and the guy who's going to win it is Freddy Peralta.
Isn't he hurt?
Brew Crew. No, he's not
Brew
hurt.
Crew.
Oh, I thought he was hurt.
Best pitcher in that division.
All right, Tony? Division Cy Young, National League Central.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates, Reds, Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals. Yeah, it's Skeens.
Skeens, he says. All right.
All right.
Wow, we have really built the tension up for the NL West in the next segment.
We're ready, baby.
People are on the edge of their seats.
Let's try not to be a homer.
Let's get to the break. On the other side, a little NL West preview on Gwen and Chris. Here's some traffic.
It's pretty funny what's happening here in the studio. Tony Gwynn Jr. faces away from the television. And every time he turns around, the Lakers turn the ball over. So, during that last commercial break, he stood underneath the TV and looked the other way so he couldn't, by accident, even see the TV. And it worked. The Lakers are on a 10-0 run, and they're leading the Pacers 43-35 right now in Indianapolis.
It makes me feel so much better about my sports watching because Tony's always cool, calm, and collected about everything. But then when he watches a Lakers game, he loses his mind.
Yeah. No, he
and
does.
It's very nice to see.
I like to see it as well. We got our NL West picks. We've done every other division in baseball, but now the one that really matters. Scrape?
National League West, everybody.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with Tony.
Oh, you started with me first, eh?
Put him know what? I'll go first.
You go first.
Division winner. Don't throw tomatoes at me, but I think we know it's the Dodgers. Tony?
Yeah, the Dodgers.
Okay, Chris?
I'll pick the Padres.
All right.
I'm going to... Why not?
We have to treat this seriously, Chris.
It's serious.
Okay.
I mean, the Dodgers, it's not done yet. I realize they have a one-game lead right now, but... Padres have a great season. They went 93 last year.
They did.
You know, they could do 95. Dodgers could slip. Otani's, you know, one slide away from being hurt again. I don't know. Obviously, the Dodgers are favored, but I'll have fun. I'll pick the Padres.
All right, Tony, last place team. I think we all know what this team is.
Oh, boy.
Yes, Dick Monfort and his Rockies will be holding up the rest of the division.
I feel bad for some of the guys, like this Brenton Doyle, the Gold Glove center fielder.
He's turned himself into a player.
Tovar. Yeah, no, that's what I mean. There's a few guys that are really good, and they're stuck there.
They are stuck there.
Kind of too bad for them.
All right, Chris, division MVP.
Manny.
Oh.
Tired of Fernando getting all the love on the MVP thing. I know Fernando's the guy, but come on, Manny. Go 40 on him 1 year.
Okay.
40 homers, I meant. That's what I meant.
Tony?
Toddy.
Oh. Now, will it make me not serious about this if I say that Jackson Merrill's going to be the division MVP?
It's a long shot.
It's a long shot. What does he need to do to be a division MVP?
He needs to do everything that Manny does and some.
You know what? In the interview with us, he said Manny probably had more doubles than me last year. Not true. He had more doubles than Manny.
The other thing that would help Jackson Merrill be MVP is if Mookie Betts stays sick and Shohei Ohtani,
Take some other people off the board.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
that would All right, I'm going to take Jackson Merrill off, and I'm going to have to go with Ohtani.
Okay.
I'm up first for the best newcomer. I hate to say it. Tanner Scott.
Is he a newcomer to the division? No, he's already been in this division.
We've done this for the past 2 days. We have done this. Chris will make it whatever he wants to make it.
Yes, in this case, it's not legal.
Okay, fine. I'll take out Tanner Scott. Who else do we got? Can't go Blake Snell because he's not a newcomer. He came from the Giants and the Padres.
Right.
Who should I choose?
You got some new Padres.
So look around.
We do have new Padres.
Why don't you take your friend Jason Hayward? You guys are best buddies now.
We are.
And then you also have...
Got Corbin Burns is new to the
Corbin
division.
Corbin Burns is
he
new.
Is.
Got some players.
Yeah, but I don't like the whole thing where
Josh
he's like,
Naylor's
I
new.
I don't pitch on 6 days rest.
Okay.
When did he say that?
Yesterday?
No, you can stay with Tanner Scott. That's fair.
That's fine.
All right, Tanner Scott.
Best newcomer.
What do you think, Tony?
Tony?
Willie Adames will be the newcomer of...
Should have thought about that one.
Yeah.
I know, I didn't give it to you because I wanted to use it.
I was thinking this. Tony, you're on a 6-0 run. Don't turn around.
Sorry.
You're up by 15 now. I was going to go Willie Adames also.
All right.
It's either him or Thyro Estrada of the Rockies. And
his name is Tyro.
Yeah, well, whoever.
He broke his wrist.
Or yeah, no, he's out.
Wait,
no, he's
he
out
did?
For a while. Okay. Yeah, he's already out.
Gosh, now I don't feel good about my Tanner Scott.
Thyro.
That's not on the list with E-Guy, for sure.
Yes.
Right. All right, Chris, division Cy Young.
It isn't a stretch to pick a Padre here.
No, not at all.
Dylan Cease is always a contender for this. Burns is there. He's obviously, you know, MVP type of guy. I'll try to jinx it with Yamamoto. Little jinx there on that pick.
You know who none of us said, which I'm happy about? No one says Sasaki for newcomer.
I don't think he's going to be.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be either.
What about Hyesung Kim?
He's not in the big league, so we don't have to talk about him.
Tony, Cy Young, National League West.
Dylan Cease.
All right. Dylan Cease. I'm going to pick Michael King.
Okay.
Because Michael King's in a contract year, so is Dylan Cease. But Michael King seems like a guy who can basically will himself to a great season because it's a contract year.
What is the criteria for doing that?
I didn't get that one.
Just being...
And why doesn't Dylan C seem like he would be capable of that?
You know, I don't know. I feel like if we're judging off of last year, Michael King was more consistent throughout the year than Dylan
Cease. We need to clip that and run that back.
No, I never need to do it again.
He seems like the type that on his walking year can just will his way.
Doesn't he seem like a guy who's like hyper-focused and like... has a goal, and he's the type of guy who always reaches his goals.
You literally described everybody in the big leagues right there. Oh, man, Scrab.
I'm so excited to see
Scrab,
this guy.
You
so
are too funny.
Spend
dude.
Any more time with you guys. All right, that's it for the National League West.
The funny part is you didn't have to say that. You could have just made your pick and moved on.
Yeah, you could have gone Michael King even without a silly explanation.
It wasn't silly.
It would have been just as good.
And you wonder why people say, be nicer to Scrammy.
I'm just saying,
Scrammy. Be nicer to Scrammy.
You brought that on yourself, man.
Because I said that Michael King seems like a guy who's going to have a great contract here.
It was just unnecessary comment. It was just unnecessary commentary is all it was.
Did not say that.
You know it, too.
I'm so over you guys in the last 2 days. This has been a lot in the last 2 days.
I think we should do a. Try something here. Lakers lead by 12. I think we should force Tony to watch the entire game during the break and see how much they lead by when we return.
Michelle says, "Be nice to Scraby." Thank you, Michelle.
I'm sorry, Michelle.
You're welcome, Michelle. We'll do our best, but it's not easy.
You know the boss is in here. Big boss, I'm going to go talk to him about how you guys treat me.
Taylor Twellman.
You parked in his spot. He ain't going to want to hear from you.
No kidding. What a move that was. They both arrive at the parking lot at the same time. Scraby honks, gets right in front of him and takes
true.
His spot.
This is not true. I was there 30 seconds before him, saw the spot, swooped the spot, and as he's driving by, he goes, "You took my spot." And it was the big boss, and I said, "Do you want me to move?" And he said, "No, I don't want you to move."
Well, he didn't want you to move, but he was still talking about it to me an hour and a half later.
Michelle's asking, did our boss back in?
I don't know.
Answers, yes.
We don't know.
Wait, he did?
He's a backer-inner.
Oh.
I know his car. Yes. And every time I see it, I'm like, Michael's a backer-inner.
Shout out to Michael.
That may have to be dealt with in the next contract negotiations.
You know what's funny is that Katrina, who's a big fan of the show, she was telling me yesterday that she understands kind of the backer-upper with the new cars because she's driving a rental, tried to back in, tried to use the camera to back in, and she had to do it like 17 times because the camera was all fisheye and wonky and all that stuff. I kind of get it. I mean, that's what people are doing. They're looking at their back. They're backing up cameras trying to get in.
Not us real backer-inners. We have the skill to do like old school drivers had to before there was a camera.
Yeah. I do love the hand behind the other camera.
You got to get
the one finger wheel on the
steering. Doing it with the heel of your hand. Anyway.
That is an old Impala move right there, if I ever saw one. All right, more Gwen and Chris. We got SDFC. You soccer fans, stick around. Taylor Twellman, former U.S. National Team player. He's got some insightful things to say about football. We look forward to his visit next.
I have 37. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sevel. Matthew Scraby, Lakers. Doing well.
Whoa.
Try to add that up. 17. I was struggling there with the math, but 17-point lead.
Yeah.
Threes and sixes.
Tough, I need sevens and zeros.
Yeah, that me too. I need zeros or fives.
Lakers doing well. LeBron kind of got things rolling today with his appearance on.
Now, is Pat McAfee, is that filmed in Indianapolis? Is that why that happened?
Or? No, apparently that was filmed yesterday, I believe.
Okay, LeBron's interview?
Interview, because they're obviously in Indianapolis. They left, I would assume, yesterday to get there. So, but Pat McAfee kind of explained that, you know, LeBron kind of went out of his way to come on the show for the hour and 15 minutes he was. And
he was on for an hour and 15 minutes.
They ran it straight through, no edits.
And this is LeBron asking on so that he could clear the air, or
they didn't really say who or what, but I'm assuming LeBron gets, you know, I'm sure Pat would have loved to have him on, but I don't know that Pat knew that that was going to be a yes.
Do you think that Pat McAfee paid him? And I'm saying that because he pays Aaron Rodgers, so
I don't think he paid him.
How much money would LeBron have to get to agree to sit with Pat McAfee for an hour?
I know Aaron's made a lot of money, but LeBron is in another stratosphere, I think, to him. But nonetheless, he said some things that I thought were, you know, different. He said some things that I know are irritating people right now. But he also had a lot to say about Stephen A. And these two are still going back and forth, because Stephen A. shortly thereafter had his own show that he is responding to a lot of the things that LeBron James said.
Stephen A. Smith thought, and a lot of people thought, that that wasn't the greatest place for LeBron to his issues. A lot of people thought Stephen A. Smith was out of pocket to be critical of LeBron being a dad.
Yeah.
So it was one of those ones where you could almost be against both of them.
Now, it's not complicated. It's just murky, right? Because LeBron is the first in basketball to have a son anywhere near the NBA while the dad is still in the NBA.
Yes, Ken Griffey Jr., that happened.
Baseball has crossed this a long time ago.
Yeah.
But this is the first for the NBA. And I think Bronny, I think in a lot of ways, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. It was unfair, I think, in a lot of ways for him to get criticism. Because when you look at where he got drafted, the year he got drafted, and the players that were drafted ahead of him, he's doing better than most of them. That includes a lot of first-rounders.
He did have a 39-point game in the G League the other night.
Yeah.
He's starting to quiet a lot of us down.
And I think that is the point, right, is that we all thought, watching him, that he needed to have some work, right? Because of who his dad is, he probably got an opportunity at the biggest level before he probably should. But the fact that he is going out now starting to look every bit like
39 is a legit performance.
No doubt. And he had, 20 or 15 or 16 in an NBA game?
His career
17,
high.
17.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's clear that he's getting better. It's clear that he's working. This whole LeBron James, Stephen A. Smith thing is not done. We're going to hear, this is going to be probably the rest of the week, they're going to be going back and forth. Or at least Stephen A. is going to be going back.
Can we stop giving this oxygen, like, as a public?
I don't think we can.
Let's give it oxygen. It's fun to talk about.
I don't think we can. Okay.
Here's what I liked as how Pat McAfee and LeBron James wrapped it up today. Pat McAfee brought up LeBron James's other son, Bryce,
yeah.
17 years old. He's going to be attending the University of Arizona this fall. Said Pat McAfee, is it possible you'll see yourself playing in the NBA with both of your sons?
Oh, my goodness.
And LeBron said, do not do that to me.
All right, let's get to our interview of the day. Taylor Twellman joined us earlier to talk some MLS. Good interview. You'll enjoy it here right after some traffic.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Doing well. Doing well,
we are good. We were, honestly, both of us just commenting. Now, Tony's daughters play soccer, so he's more of a soccer guy. I'm trying to become a soccer guy, but I just wanted to compliment you. When I watch a match that you broadcast, I feel like I learned stuff. And I'm curious, as somebody who knows the game so well, how do you, when you're, you know, doing your broadcast, how do you kind of walk the line between talking to the soccer purist and talking to the soccer novice who might be tuned in?
Well, one, I appreciate the compliment. Two, I'm actually not a soccer guy, Chris, to be honest with you. You know, I grew up playing probably more baseball and basketball than I did soccer. I had a, you know, grandfather that won two World Series with the Yankees. I've had an uncle that was on the PGA Tour for 20 years, and then my father and two of his brothers played pro soccer for however long. So I grew up in an athletic family. I think to answer your question, I would say this. As long as I'm myself, I think the viewer is going to be engaged. They're going to, one, disagree with me, or be I'm polarizing. It is what it is. But at least I will genuinely, I'm enthusiastic. I love my life. I love the job. I think it's an absolute privilege to be able to do this. And when I talk the game, I'm going to try to do it in a way that the real expert and someone that's just getting into it is at least going to be engaged and say, yeah, I never think about I don't talk down to anyone. And I firmly believe this. No question is a dumb question. There's just dumb people, right? And so when you ask that question, you got to be able to listen to it. And how can I answer it? So it's been challenging, but one that I really, really appreciate. And the way that came from, and I think, Tony, you'll understand this. Every 4 years, because you've got daughters that play, every 4 years, everyone in the United States is a fan of soccer.
Locked in.
Because the World Cup comes around. And the red, white, and blue. So the LSU college football fan or the USC women's basketball fan, every 4 years are going to say, all right, the U.S. is playing in the World Cup. Men or women, are we going to win it? And you have to understand that they're just dipping their toe in the water for a brief period of time and coming out. If you're not engaging, if you're not enthusiastic, if you don't speak your mind and be authentic, but also educate in the way that you talk, well, now I'm not taking the opportunity to grow the sport. So, Chris, it's a long-winded answer of saying I don't go into it thinking about it, but I am 100% aware that there's going to be someone new every single time on Apple TV listening to this, and hell, I better be on my game.
Taylor, all that comes through when we're watching.
Yeah.
So you're doing a fantastic job. I want to ask you a little bit about SDFC. It's a new team here in San Diego. Everybody is through the roof excited about them. They took their first loss against Austin FC. I mean, you tell me, is expansion a little bit different in the MLS as it is in the other sports where it seems to take a little bit longer in baseball, football, basketball for teams to be good? Is it the same in MLS?
No, Tony, and it's a great question. And the reason why it's a great question is it's the number one sport in the world. There's millions of players you can go find. Mm. If you expand in baseball, you're taking everyone's third or fourth starter, right? So naturally, the pitching staffs are going to be depleted for a little bit, or expansion comes around, and now you're talking about a double-A roster that's playing in the majors when truly it shouldn't be. Now, the NHL is a little interesting, right? Because Las Vegas Knights came in right away and blew the doors off of it. But why is that? Well, it's more of a global game. And so I think when the game is so global the way soccer is, football for everyone else outside of our country, Tony, I don't think it is. I think there's a million different ways you can skin a cat. There's a million different ways you can play this game. There's a million different players that you can go out and find and build your identity. San Diego's got that. They're doing well. I think they're going to be tested Saturday night. I think it's going to be one of the hardest games they've played. And they're not as deep. So to answer your question, sure, they've had success. But if they still go through these games missing four opening day starters the way they did against Austin, buddy, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a tough slog to get to the end of the year and try to get into the playoffs.
Taylor Twellman is with us, MLS season pass analyst, soccer guy, and we're excited to have him on the show. It still was stunning when SDFC scored those two goals at the end of the match and in the second half to beat LA Galaxy, the defending champs. But now I'm looking, LA Galaxy hasn't won a match yet. So maybe they're not, you know, coming right back. But LAFC, they are undefeated, right? Or 3-2. I'm looking at the standings wrong because the zeros in the middle with the draws, it's right. Still confusing to me. But yeah, this is an established squad. Do they have to? How do they play differently against an LAFC than maybe they had to play against, you know, some of their earlier opponents?
Yeah, the Galaxy are tough, Chris, right? Because they've had the, you know, top five players in the league, Ricky Pooch, ACL, so he's out. And they missed four starters, right? Because their four starters from MLS Cup final had to move on because of salary cap rules and certain salary restrictions. So I said it before the year, and a lot of people were upset with it. But the fact is, I thought the Galaxy would really struggle to make the playoffs. LAFC is completely different. They are very unique in the way that from their first season, they've dealt with winning MLS Cup, losing MLS Cup, losing CONCACAF Champions Cup, winning U.S. Open Cup, and consistently having to turn over their team. And if I'm not mistaken, they've missed the playoffs once, and that was COVID year or the year after. So my point is they are brilliant in understanding and finding players all over the world, and they've got one of the best players in the league in Dini Bawanga. Fantastic player, does a wonderful job, but then they've got an 18-year-old kid that Ajax, Bayern Munich, everybody wanted. Instead, he comes to LAFC and MLS, and eventually he's going to make the move, I think, after the World Cup for Venezuela to Europe. So they're a unique team, but they're different than San Diego in this. They don't want the ball the way San Diego wants the ball, and I'm very impressed with how stubborn San Diego is and saying, no, we want the ball. We want to dictate the game. We want to play at our level. LAFC's along this path of saying, no, you have it. But the moment you lose it, good luck trying to stop us. They're one of the best, if not the best team on the counterattack. And so that becomes a very interesting game for San Diego. And I think it's also interesting the fact that San Diego hasn't won at home yet. They've had two games at home and they haven't won.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a great crowd, but you're right. Haven't been able to get a W yet. I'd be remiss, Taylor, if I didn't ask you a little bit about the USA men's national team. They took a tough one. What was it, a couple days ago, and I seen people's heads exploding talking about it. I mean, where is this team at? I mean, it seems like we take a step forward, then we take a step back. We just don't seem to be moving the needle enough to really make the kind of gains that I think people are hoping for. Where are we at, you think, on the U.S. men's national side?
Well, just say during the next commercial break, go into the studio bathroom and look at the toilet because that's where the entire thing. I just threw up in my mouth. I, honestly, Tony, it's as frustrating as anything. And this is not I need to be very clear on this. It's the first time since 1925 the United States men have lost to Canada in back-to-back home games. They lost to Panama, three straight competitive games. And I'm not downgrading Canada and Panama. What I'm trying to say is maybe we were delusional, but the 2014 World Cup game where Tim Howard made a record 14, 15, 16 saves, whatever the number was, against Belgium, and if Chris Wondolowski or Clint Dempsey score their chance, they're then playing in the World Cup quarterfinal against Lionel Messi and Argentina on July 4th. And that day, I'm in Brazil calling the game. Everyone and their mothers hit me up on any kind of social media platform, but the conversation is, when are we going to possess the ball? When are we going to play this style? When are we going to be able to play against Argentina, Belgium, Brazil, England, and the top 10 teams in the world? 10 years later, you're losing to Canada at home, which, by the way, may have a better roster than the United States. They have a United States coach that, quite honestly, should have been the head coach for the U.S. men, but that's a completely different radio show and a different conversation. The point, it's disturbing to me, and I need to raise my hand. I'm part of the problem. I said this generation was the golden generation. And in fairness to myself, we've never, my generation, generation before me, and the generation after me, we never had players at Chelsea, Dortmund, AC Milan.
Wait,
Tony, we didn't have that. But now we do. So naturally you say, oh, we're going to be better. The reality is they're not. They're not better. And so that goes to show you. And by the way, if you would get, if this isn't basketball where if you have the best player in the world, you win. No, it's not. If that was the case, Messi would have four World Cups.
Yeah.
He's got one.
Yeah.
It depends on cohesion, your team, everything else. But the fact that you're asking me about the Nations League at home and you lose to Panama for the third straight time and Canada back-to-back home games for the first time since 1925, I have to raise my hand and say sorry to the general public. I thought this was the golden generation of player. They're lucky, extremely lucky that they're automatic qualifiers for the World Cup because I'm not sure they would qualify.
Wow. Strong statement.
Strong stuff. I just want to, you know, remind the people from Panama and Canada that was Taylor Twellman's opinion, not ours.
Chris is always he does not want to offend Canada for some reason. always apologizing for the United States.
A lot of friends in Canada that met back in the hockey days, so I like Canada and people there.
Okay,
well, sorry, it's great.
We're gonna slide on out of here. That's it for Gwen and Chris. The Chronicles follow.
We're on tomorrow
opening
the game.
Day.
Yeah, we're on after the game tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's all beginning, guys.
It is. Enjoy your night, San Diego. We'll see you tomorrow.